When is the last time you heard a sermon on hell? Some of you would say it's been since you were a young person or a child, because I grew up hearing sermons about this all the time. Heaven and hell, the coming of the Lord, that was just a part of our theology. But the Bible says that in the last days, people don't want to hear sound doctrine anymore, so they will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn sermons into fables, which means they'll start telling a lot of stories and telling jokes and things like that that are more entertaining, and that people will not want to hear the substance, the meat of the word, the gospel. So they would rather turn preaching into some form of engagement, some form of social engagement where they leave there feeling good. And listen, I want you to leave feeling good every week, but I also believe in conviction. And I also believe that sometimes the word of God is like a mirror, and we look into it and it shows us the reflection of things we're doing right and things we're not doing right, and we have to change that. I believe in heaven, but the opposite of heaven is hell. And I don't just believe in heaven, I believe in hell. I believe in the love of God, but I also believe in the righteousness of God. And I believe in the judgment of God because of that. You know, the passive excuse for not talking about hell is a loving God would never send people to a hell. That's like saying a loving judge would never send you to jail. A loving judge may be loving, but he's not punishing you because he's not loving. He's punishing you because you have disobeyed and broken the laws. And the Lord said he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, why hasn't God done something to save the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has done the ultimate act of love to bring mankind to him. So we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. All right? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So I want to stop right there. That's in the middle of the verse. But there's a lot of, there's books that have been written on knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And the reason I want you to see this is because while we do believe in a loving God, the Bible did not leave out the theology of what happens to people who do not accept Christ, and there is a place called hell. I guess the main purpose of preaching a sermon like this is not necessarily, I don't believe in fear tactics, so don't prepare yourself to be all scared. This is not a spook house tonight. This is a church. I'm going to give you the gospel, but I'm not here to terrorize anybody and give you bad dreams. That's not my purpose. But I do want to preach the word of God without apology. Is that okay? Can I preach the word of God just straight? Can I give it to you straight tonight? I'm just going to tell you, I'll leave my opinions out of this. I just want to tell you what the Bible says about hell. So the main purpose, I think, for this sermon tonight would be to awaken the church, to ask ourselves, do we really believe in hell? If so, is it motivating us to witness to the people that we love and tell them they need to find Jesus Christ? And the only way to answer that question is to ask yourself who you invited tonight. The only way to answer that question is to ask yourself, when's the last time you shared your faith? The only way to ask that question is to ask yourself, when is the last time you prayed with someone to accept Jesus with salvation? And so maybe it's that the church is ready to go, but we're not ready to take our neighborhood with us. And so the Lord wants to awaken us from our sleep by reminding us of the reality of hell. So there's a group called Pew Research Group, which claims to be a nonpartisan fact tank that provides the public with research and statistics. And so one of the things that you can find on Pew Research is they have interviewed people to find out what they think about hell. Now, in this particular survey, they interviewed 35,000 Americans, okay? And they were all religious Americans, and these are the results of their survey. So they asked 35,000 religious Americans, do you believe in hell? 58% said, we believe. 34% said, we don't believe. And others said, we don't know. Go to the next page and let me show you how this breaks down even more. So of these, there were religious Americans. So keep in mind, they're not all of the Christian faith, but they're all religious. So Buddhists said 32% believe in hell. Catholics, 63%. Evangelical Protestants, that would be all of us. Okay, that's the group we would fall into, 82%. Hindus, 28%. Historically black Protestants, 82%. Jehovah's Witness, only 7% believe in hell. Jewish, only 22%. Mainline Protestants, 60%. That's your Baptists, your Methodists, your Presbyterians. Mormons, 62%. Muslims, 76%. Orthodox Christians, that's going to be your Greek Orthodox Church, your Russian Orthodox Church, 59%. And unaffiliated, that would be non-denominational, 27%. All right, so these are Christians that are saying, we believe in hell, we do not believe in hell. They're not asking anyone who's not a Christian in this particular survey. Let's go into the next one. Let me show you a couple of more stats from here. They broke it down into age categories, and these are a bit alarming because in these age categories, you can see that it continues. Well, in the older group, 65 and above, only 17% of them believe in hell. Is that not scary? 17% of those 65 and above, it's smaller than 18 to 29% that sometimes people think is, you know, not a churchy crowd, but 21% of them believe in hell. So you have of those who do not believe in hell, of the 65%, you also have 17%, and then you have another large group there that says, we don't know. So when you break that down into Christianity, you can realize why it's important that if the Bible talks about hell, the church also needs to talk about hell. Because Americans as a whole have stopped believing, right at about half of religious Americans. Get this, guys. Half of religious Americans have stopped believing in hell. Now, I don't have the research on all people that aren't religious, but of those 35,000, that is how it polled. Now, the Gallup Research Poll is widely known for its Gallup polls, and they have about 2 million people that have taken their surveys, and their last survey from 2023, this is what they polled across America, and this is not just a religious poll, this is all groups. 74% of Americans say we believe in God. That means 26% of Americans no longer believe in God, okay? And this is of all groups. 67% say they believe in hell. 59%, and this is non-religious and religious, say they believe in hell. 58%. Only 58%, now get this, this is really scary to me that only 58% of Americans believe there's a devil. That's why the Bible says in the last days they'll do what is right in their own minds. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. So we have entered the season of narcissism in the world that the Bible spoke of in the last days. And by the way, a lot of the movements are about humanism is about humans being the ultimate God. And so when you add humanism and then narcissism and then our addiction that social media has caused us to have addictions to our own opinions, where everyone enjoys fronting people out over absolutely nothing when they don't even know them, and it gives them some kind of power kick, and it becomes an addiction. And that's what we're seeing now as a result of social media forums. So when you have that, it's not surprising that 58% of our world no longer believes in a devil or God. They just believe in themselves. So this is where we are. So we have to talk about it. However, these percentages drastically fall when you see how in the Christian forum, so let's take that 50-some percent of Christians, 58% of Christians that believe in hell, and let's break that down into Christianity, because all of these groups are going to weigh in, or excuse me, religion, not necessarily Christianity. Remember, that was a religious statistic. So now we have to break that religious statistic into Jewish, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and then we're going to break it down into the four categories of Christianity that believe in hell, because they all believe something different.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee, 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Let's start with the Jewish view of hell. Now, because of the Jewish people only adhering to the Old Testament, a lot of what we know about hell was given to us by, you know, does anyone know who said more about hell than any other figure in the Bible? Jesus. So if you don't believe in Jesus and you don't believe in a New Testament, then you don't believe any of the teachings on hell that Christians believe, because all you have is the Old Testament views of hell. And because of that, that is why only 22% of Jewish people even believe there is a hell. And in rabbinical literature, it suggests that if there is a hell, and if you do go to hell, you don't stay there longer than a year. All right, so that's what your rabbi is going to tell you. So if you go to hell, I mean, that doesn't sound too bad. Party on, right? You can handle that for a year. Just live your life however you want to. Sin every day. Doesn't matter. So this is broken down. Now, the views of Islam are quite different. That's why their stat was so high. Because you have to remember, Islam is not a religion of love. There is really no way to get saved in Islam. There is no loving father. There's no in my father's house are many mansions. None of that exists in Islam. It is all based on the will of Allah. So if you let Allah down, you can go to hell, right? So it is a, it's a, this religion is based entirely different than Christianity, which is on God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what Christianity looks like. Islam looks like you make Allah mad, buddy, you are in trouble. So that's the reason that religion is turned a little different way in its goals. In Islam, they start teaching their children about this at the age of kindergarten, and they teach them about the fires of hell. And basically, what they tell you is that if you disobey Allah, that he will dip you in the fires of hell and melt all of your skin off of you, and then he will reskin you, and if you mess up again, you'll have to do it again. So basically, he's going to melt your skin off of you in the fires of hell. And then while you're there, they told you that people are going to throw hot water that will cause your face to melt on your face. And your face will melt off while they're beating you with iron rods. So no one signs up for that. I mean, on the other side of that is 72 virgins. I mean, you know, go for it, right? Because who's going to take their view of heaven versus their view of hell? And so that is the Islamic view of hell. The Hindu view of hell is really no hell at all. They teach they teach samsara, which is what we would call reincarnation, and they basically talk about a place in between. So when you die, you're trapped in between for 49 days. So that doesn't sound too bad, does it? Actually, the Buddhists teach the 49 days. So samsara, it could be a longer period of time. Buddhism teaches the same thing, but you're only there for 49 days. Okay, so in Hinduism, in 49 days, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get enlightenment, and you're going to come back as something in a higher form of enlightenment until you get all the enlightenment you need, become one with the universe, and just poof off into the air. or you are going to come back as a lesser form. And each time you come back as a lesser form until you don't exist anymore. So that basically is the you can either go to nirvana or you can go back into samsara as a form of reincarnation. And you can, that's why, you know, that's where we get the term sacred cow. That could be your aunt, your grandma. You don't want to mess with that. And the same thing goes on down to the cicadas, man. I mean, anybody, anything can be anybody. So I don't know how they get by with eating meat. I mean, I don't know what goes on there. You know, sorry, cousin, I need a tuna fish sandwich. But everything is broken down that way for them. So that would be the Hindu view of hell. It's just a waiting place where it's determined if you come back lower or you go back higher. Buddhism basically teaches the Book of the Dead, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is called the Bardo, and it talks about the in-between. And the in-between is a place that you go for 49 days, and there you are either achieve more enlightenment, or if you don't get it, again, you come back as a lesser form, so another form of reincarnation. All right, so you have to take all of that out of the religious views before you even get to this one. So then you get to the Christian views. Well, are all the Christian views of hell alike? No, they're actually not. The first view is the metaphoric view. The metaphoric view is hell is bad, but we really don't know what it's like because those are just stories to metaphors and allegories. Those are just stories and illustrations about a really bad place. It's all metaphor, so we know it's bad, but we don't know how bad it is. And there's Christian churches that believe that. The next one's purgatory. Purgatory would basically be Catholics and a form of Mormonism there as well for purgatory. Purgatory is where you go. You don't stay in purgatory forever. You stay in purgatory for penance, and then you get out of purgatory, right? So you go there and pay for your sin, and then you're allowed to get out after you pay for your sin. And the Catholic Church, you can literally pay for your sin. So it's not just about you doing penance. People can pay to help you move on through the process. Pay people to pray for you to move on through the process. So purgatory is, there's only two groups that actually teach this form of purgatory, but I'm going to show you some things in the Bible that helps you to understand where they get this idea from. And then you have the annihilation view. So the annihilation view believes that you do go to suffering for a while, but when it's thrown into the lake of fire, that all the suffering's over and you basically vanish and cease to exist, and all memory of you ceases to exist, right? So annihilation view means that you do suffer, but it's not eternal. So after you're annihilated, you just are no more, and people forget about you, and it's like your memory is wiped away from them and you no longer cease to exist. Honestly, I wish that was the right one because I think that would be the easier one for me to digest. But that's not the one Jesus taught. Jesus didn't teach the metaphoric view of hell. Jesus did not teach. I mean, he gave illustrations of real people. Lazarus dipping his finger to cool the tongue of the rich man. I mean, he gave real stories of people they knew and told them where they were at and what they were going through. So the literal view of hell is something that we get from mostly from the teachings of Jesus. So to understand where these views of hell come from, we're going to go first into the Old Testament and then to the Old Testament and then to the New Testament while I talk about the literal view of hell. Now, in the Old Testament, the word that's most often used for hell is the word Sheol. It's a Hebrew word that is pronounced, we would pronounce that Sheol, which means the world of the dead. So when you get into the Old Testament teachings of that, if you guys can go ahead and turn the screens to that one, I would appreciate that. If you can go ahead and there you go, that's the go to the next one, if you will. The Old Testament, there we go. That's the right one now. Thank you. All right, so the word most commonly used is the word Sheol, and from that word, it's basically talking about a place of the dead. Now, Sheol leaves this indication that there's various, we might call them rooms, because some people even refer to them as Abraham's bosom. But later on, you'll see that some people refer to them not as rooms, but levels. Like according to the sins that people commit, there is deeper levels to go into different types of torment. You will see this actually taught in the Old and New Testament as well. So the King James translates this word Sheol into grave 31 times. So when you're reading about it, it says you go to the grave. You might just be reading in English thinking you're going to the grave, but the Hebrew word there that's been translated to grave 31 times is the word Sheol. Also 31 times it was translated to the word hell, and then 3 times translated in the English Bible to the word pit. All of these talk about an underworld. Now, what does that underworld look like? Well, we have people in the Bible that wrote about them. So let's see what Job said about Sheol, all right? So this is the teachings of Job, his description. Before I go to the place of no return, to the land of gloom, to deep shadows, to the land of the deepest night, the deep shadow and disorder, where even the light is like the darkness. So Job was the first one to give an indication that Sheol was a place of outer darkness and a place where there is no light. It is an underworld where it is gloom and despair and no shadows, a place of only darkness. And later on, you'll hear other people refer to the same thing. Now, Job says that the people who go there have no knowledge of what's going on in the earth. So Job says in Job 14 and 21, if his sons are honored, he does not know it. If they're brought low, he does not see it. So Job is telling us from the Old Testament that Sheol is a place of isolation. It is a place of separation. It is a place of extreme loneliness. I'm doing a teaching 2 days from now to a group of ministers on the emotional health of ministers. And one of the things they assigned me this topic, and I started doing a lot of research on this topic. And you know what they said? Some of the research that I found, because they want me to address the loneliness of leadership. Because a lot of people don't realize that people can be surrounded with people and not have a friend. Not someone that doesn't expect something from you that a leader gives. So I'm addressing that issue. And my research, one of the things that I found is that people who deal with extreme loneliness have a 14% chance of dying an early death than other people. Not only that, scientific research shows that people that have chronic loneliness, it has the same effects on your body as being a chain cigarette smoker. There's no difference in the effects of the body because of what it does to your body, that your body reacts in such a way that if you are a chain cigarette smoker or if you are a person who deals with extreme loneliness, the effects physically because of the releases of hormones, the cortisone levels, the heart, the way you have to breathe, all of those things, it is the same thing. That's why everyone needs to pray for a friend. You need people like that in your life. So Job describes hell as a place of extreme loneliness. Shadows and darkness in a place where I have no connection with anyone. I've heard people jokingly say, you know what, if I go to hell, I'll just party with all my friends in hell. I hate to tell you, there's going to be no party in hell, not of any kind. Moses describes hell. He describes it differently from Job. In Deuteronomy, this is what Moses says. For fire has been kindled, but one that burns to the realm of death below. So he's talking about Sheol again. The word hell is Sheol. He's saying that Sheol not only has darkness, it also has components or places where there's extreme fire that burn the body. Isaiah also describes hell. Isaiah says it this way. He says, the sinners in Zion are terrified, trembling grips of godliness. Who of us can dwell in the consuming fire? Who can dwell in the everlasting burning? So he talks about a place where there's a constant burning and have you ever been burned before? I mean, just one burn can irritate you for days. A small little burn can irritate you for days. And he is talking about a place where your entire body is burned continuously. Now, Jesus actually quotes this verse in his teachings from Isaiah. Listen to what he says. They shall go forth and look upon corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So he's talking about perhaps another level of hell where people are infested in worms and their bodies are infested in worms. And so in one place, they're being burned. In another place, they're in outer darkness and a chronic loneliness and isolation. In another place, their bodies. Now, I found pictures that I refused to put up there because I'm thinking if we have any, we didn't give anybody any barf bags tonight. But I found some pictures of that, that when I was actually trying to put this together, and I thought, oh, no, that is so graphic. But, you know, there's a little part of me that wishes you could see it. There's a little part of me that says, maybe we shouldn't sugarcoat this in any way. We need to see everything that we can see because this is one sermon we don't need to forget. This is a sermon we need to remember. If we don't remember anything, because no one needs to go to hell and no one has to go to hell, but people will go to hell. So in this particular verse, he says that there are places where people's bodies are being eaten by worms. Now we're going to move from the Old Testament and the word Sheol, which is most often used in the Hebrew, to the New Testament. And there in the New Testament, we're going to see a language change from Hebrew to Greek. In the word Greek, you're going to see the word Hades used more often. Now obviously, there's a lot of Greek mythology about Hades as well, but that is the Greek word for hell that is used for the underworld. And it's basically synonymous with Sheol. So when you hear the descriptions, even though the word is now changed to Hades in the Greek, the descriptions of hell are the same. They're pretty much the same as everything you just read about Sheol. So the word is interchangeable. So when we get into the word Hades, the general description of Hades is that it's a place of outer darkness that has fire and worms. So we're seeing a pattern here of darkness, fire, and worms, possibly different components or levels of hell. Now there's another word that Jesus used, and we think he used this word for a particular reason. I'll show you the reason. He used the word Gehenna. Now Gehenna is actually a word that he used to describe the punishment of hell. Now in the New Testament, all the references to Gehenna except James 3 and 6 are from the teachings of Jesus. Now Jesus was choosing a literal place as an illustration that they could understand what hell was like. So Gehenna is basically a real place in Israel. Now it's called the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was the place in the Old Testament where they built fires and they sacrificed people in the flames to Molech. They sacrificed children, they sacrificed teenagers, they sacrificed themselves, they sacrificed soldiers. So Molech had to be appeased and by fire, and so they would make these people walk through the fire. This is one of the things that God got so angry about, why they kept doing this to their infants and to their children to appease Molech. And so Josiah comes along as the king of Israel, and he tears down all of this and says that this valley is now cursed. And Jeremiah comes along and confirms that the valley is cursed. So no one wants to live there. So if you go to Israel today, that's what you will see. That is where they burn the garbage. The same place, and in the time of Jesus, they were burning the garbage in the Valley of Hinnom. So keep that in mind. Jesus says, hell is like the Valley of Hinnom. Hell is Gehenna. It is a place where there's a constant flame. And the same way that people used to walk through those flames to appease Molech and die, that's what hell is like. So Jesus was wanting them to have an illustration that they could fully understand. So he chose this place.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.